praising God at the picnic is a relatively easy effort. But when I'm in the middle of hell and high water, praising God takes on another dimension. Between the borders of hell and high water is where the great testimonies of God's marvelous intervention in the lives of the born again are on full display. It's here where the fallen sons and daughters of Adam see what the sons and daughters of God look like. Praising God is the commandment God gives to his people because the secret of deliverance is in the praise. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Psalms 118:24, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Psalms 37:23 says that God orders his children's steps, and that especially includes the times of great trouble. The God-ordered problems do not arise to drown you, but that you might overcome them by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. It's between hell and high water where God teaches my hands to war. Concerning the ordering of steps, Psalms 37:23 reads, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." When I'm not praising God in everything, I have handcuffed him in my disobedience. He cannot move on my behalf as a result of the confession of my own mouth. Earlier I said praise is the secret of deliverance, and that secret is revealed in Psalms 22, verse 3, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." God inhabits. He lives inside the praise of his children. When I praise God, especially in the times of great sorrow and trouble, I place the God of promise into the middle of my circumstance, a circumstance he ordered for me, and at this place of praise, my deliverance is secured. Now Romans 8:28 is truly mine, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Looking through your first set of eyes, your situation may still seem dire, but with your second set, you'll see the sunshine of God's promise. Dear visitor, have you yet to be born again as Jesus directs in John 3:3? Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." In just moments, I will invite you to follow me in a simple prompt, and if you follow from your heart, you will participate in the greatest miracle man can know. Today, you will become a new creature. Today, you will be born a second time, this time of the Spirit of God. Today, all your sin and shame will be washed away by Christ's cleansing blood. Today, all of Satan's bondages in your life will be broken, no matter how insurmountable they appear. Today, this is your day to be clean and free. Here is the prompt I promised. Here it is. Click on the Further with Jesus for childlike instructions and immediate entry into the kingdom of God. Now for today's subject. God said, Jeremiah 25:31, "A noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord." God said, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." God said, Exodus 3, verses 13 and 14, "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." Man said, "If I concede that there is a God, that doesn't mean the God of the Bible. Everyone knows the Bible has very low credibility. Just read it." What? No, I didn't read it, but so what? Now the record. Welcome to God Said, Man Said, feature 1289, that will once again certify the supernatural and inerrant bona fides of God's Holy Bible, the beautiful book. All of these powerful Bible features are archived here in text and streaming audio for your edification. Do you have a friend you would love to win to Christ? God Said, Man Said can be used as a digital gospel tract. Think of a subject your friend would be interested in and type a few keywords into the search bar at the top right. Your page will populate with relevant features. Send one to your friend and tell that person you were thinking of them. Expect marvelous results. Thank you for visiting. May God's face shine upon you and your home with light and truth. God has a controversy with all the nations of the earth that will be settled at the world-ending battle of Armageddon, Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 through 9. This controversy began in Genesis chapter 3, where Satan challenged the word of God with his words. In an act of unbelief and a following act of disobedience, our grandmother Eve, known in biology as mtDNA Eve, the mother of all living, reached out and ate of the forbidden fruit. The controversy is, whose word is true? Since Genesis chapter 3, it's been like mother, like daughter, like father, like son. The controversy, though, is soon to be settled. The purpose of God Said, Man Said is to certify beyond any reasonable doubt that God is, that he authored the Holy Bible, and will hold all men accountable to it at a day of judgment just over the horizon, and with the ultimate goal of reconciling the lost unto God through Christ Jesus. The controversy is settled here, if you want it to be. I need to know it's true. Everything depends upon this book, really everything. The majority text, Textus Receptus, Holy Bible, is the inviolable truth, miracles and all. In this series of the melding of light and words, you will discover numerous childlike principles found in strange groupings of words penned thousands of years ago that today's science continues to certify, even though mostly inadvertently. The lack of schooling, as in Sunday schooling, of the world's academics is clearly observed in their inability to connect the dots. They simply don't know that their latest discoveries are recorded in the Holy Scriptures. Example, the cardinal law of thermodynamics, known by science as the first law of thermodynamics or the law of conservation, declares that you cannot create energy or matter. It can change form back and forth, but the original quantity must always remain constant. The Sunday schooled know this law is Ecclesiastes 3, 14 and 15. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. This Bible passage was penned 3,000 years ago. Example, before any members of your body were formed, the instructions for their construction were recorded in your DNA inherited from your father and mother. Biologists have called this instruction manual the Book of Life. 3,000 years ago, DNA was described in Psalms 139, 14 through 16. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. There are hundreds of such examples of the Bible scooping science's latest discoveries, but the matter of light and words and their melding together is surely the master of them all. Several paragraphs from the first feature in this series follow, and central to the conversation is 1 John 1, 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is light. God has all the attributes of light, or should I say light has all the attributes of God. Some of the musing that follows might seem somewhat facetious, but don't jump too fast. If God is light, and the Bible says that he is, then he can travel at least at the speed of light. Light travels at 186,282.3968 miles per second. Multiply that number by 60 and you have miles per minute. Multiply that number by 60 minutes and the speed of light is 670,616,629 miles per hour. And that is fast. Now think about this. Isaiah 55, 7 through 9. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's thoughts and ways are not man's thoughts and ways. Consider Isaiah 66, 1. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? God is timeless, from everlasting to everlasting, and time is non-consequential to him. But for now, it means everything to us. Our lives are compared to a vapor, like steam off a boiling pot of water. James 4:14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Let's try to put into perspective the speed of light and how it relates to us. For this example, I've assigned 5 miles per hour as the average foot travel speed of man. Not running or walking, but about a jog. If God is light, and he is, then he can travel at least at the speed of light, 670,616,629 miles per hour. Divide that number by 5, a miles per hour, foot travel speed of man. And God is 134,123,626 times faster than man, not running or walking, but at a jog. When considering the calculations and their assumptions in this feature, one must keep in mind that God is timeless from everlasting to everlasting and even filleth all things. But this exercise will help to put into proper perspective our existence as well as the earth and its universe. A heavy question often considered is, how could even God create the earth and all its life forms, the universe and all its stars, moons, and planets, in just 6 24-hour days? In our speed of light example, God is 134,123,326 times faster than man. Divide that number by the days in a year, 365, and one man day would equal 367,461.2 years in the speed of light calculation. It was 24 hours for man. But God's ways are not our ways. Notice how he contrasts the difference in Isaiah 55, 9. Again, he says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. According to highly acclaimed chronologist Archbishop Usher, who wrote his grand tome, The Annals of the World, in the mid-1600s, the beginning of God's creation of the world was on the evening preceding the 21st day of September, 4004 B.C. That date is the Gregorian calendar date, which we use today. The work began on what is commonly called Sunday, which the Bible knows as the first day of the week or the Lord's Day. When you add 4004 B.C., the date Usher calculated creation began, to 2025 A.D., you have an earth and universe that is 6,029 years old. That's about 2,202,092 days, including leap years. Using the speed of light calculations, one man day equals 0.00000007 of a God day. 6,029 years is about 21.6 minutes in God time. When looking at things from God's perspective, things are considerably different. Moses pens the first verse of Genesis chapter 1 nearly 4,000 years ago. And the speed of light calculation, that was just over 14 minutes ago. Again, Isaiah 55:9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God is light. Consider what scientists are saying about the mystery of light. High-credentialed scientists like Dr. Gary E. Schwartz, author of the God Experiments, writes the following concerning the marvel of photons, which are light packets from the sun and are the energy from which all matter is created. Yet there is a curious property of photons, including the visible ones, that for years struck me as particularly odd until I asked myself the question, if photons were designed this way, what was the purpose of the design? The word odd is a modest term for this truly amazing fact of photons. A more honest term is beyond extraordinary. Many people who learn this fact will make a point of never forgetting it. Moreover, if one were looking for a phenomenon that deserved the label miracle, it would be this property of photons. Photons not only have a kind of immortality, which is how we can see light that has traveled for millions, if not billions of years, but they also provide information with such precision and accuracy that incomprehensibly huge amounts of information can be contained in incomprehensibly small spaces. End of quote. The doctor says photons, light packages, are beyond extraordinary. They should be labeled miraculous and immortal. These are God's properties. Yes, God is light. Another very highly acclaimed scientist, Dr. Michael Gullion, authored the book Believing is Seeing, and he writes the following PowerPoints regarding light. Headline, light has a sacred status in the universe. The scientific and Christian worldviews agree that light and its equivalent, God, has a sacred status in the universe. In particular, here's what they say. Science. According to special relativity, the speed of light, designated by the letter C, is a sacred number and a universal constant. Christianity. According to the Bible, God, designated by the Greek letters Alpha and Omega, is sacred and universal. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. Science. At the speed of light, time stops. Light, therefore, is not constrained by time. It is a timeless phenomenon. Christianity. God created time, so he exists outside of it. God, therefore, is not constrained by time. He is a timeless entity. When I first read the biblical story about the burning bush, I found it odd that God says to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. But following my analysis of light from a scientific and biblical perspective, I realized it's exactly what a timeless being would say about himself. He would say, I don't have a past, present, or future. I just am. I am who I am. End of quotes. God is light, and his thoughts are not man's thoughts, and his ways are not man's ways. But that scenario changes abruptly at the place Jesus Christ calls born again. Earlier you read in James that our physical lives are compared to a vapor, and when you consider the speed of light calculations, that comparison is somewhat complementary. But what is marvelous and glorious to consider is that through Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, the true light, John 1:9, the born again moved from vapor status to glorious light and magnificent immortality. Man, that's a big deal. Revelation 22:5. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Colossians 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Jesus said, Matthew 13:43, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. Science claims that At the speed of light, time stops. At the speed of light, you cannot age. You become immortal. God is light. They always end up here, end of quote. Science claims that at the speed of light, time stops. They always end up here. They simply don't know they have arrived. The born again once sat in darkness and saw a great light, Matthew 16. The born again are presently the spiritual light, the true light of this world. Jesus speaks in Matthew 5:14-16 about light. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The light growth of the redeemed is recorded in Proverbs 4:18, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Imagine in eternity we will be light sources. The following excerpts are from the God Said, Man Said feature light series, part 4, I Am That I Am. After I read the following verses, or you read them yourself, go back and consider them one at a time. Should we take the passages literally? The answer is, of course. According to God's word, the born again will be light sources forever. We will shine in Christ's glory. Revelation 2:26-29. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Matthew 13:41-43. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, where there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun, and the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Daniel 12:3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Revelation 1:16. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. John 17:5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. 2 Thessalonians 2:8. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Concerning angels, Luke 20:34-36, and Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Revelation 10:1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Even the fallen have an association with light. Luke 10:18. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Revelation 12:3-4, 7-9. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Should these passages be taken literally, the plain childlike reading shouts, yes, we will shine like our Savior forever. Revelation 21:23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And Revelation 22:5, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Again, Colossians 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And once again, Matthew 13:43, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Get excited, saints. It's not long now, and we shall see him as he is, and it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. End of quote. Scientific research continually shouts literal. The Word of God is literally true. Some final examples for this feature. The Bible teaches that there was light before the sun. The world's academics once thought such an idea untenable, but today science theorizes that there was light before the sun, just as the Bible says. Science now knows that if light is refracted at equal wavelengths, it will maintain its original force indefinitely. One can theoretically capture a beam of light in a can, and as long as that light was refracted in equal wavelengths, for example, in a prism-like structure, that can could be opened 30 years later, releasing the beam inside at its original force. The Bible knows this principle as the single eye focused upon Jesus Christ, the light of the world. If we do not add or subtract from God's word, giving it exactly as it was given, it will have the same force as when originally spoken. This idea is commonly known as sola scriptura, which is a Latin term for scriptures alone. No additions, no subtractions, just equal wavelengths. Science has concluded that light is immortal. The Bible teaches that God is light and that he is from everlasting to everlasting. In other words, immortal. Science now knows that words can be converted into light. 3,000 years ago, God's word states, Psalms 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, Psalms 119:130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. God is light, John 1:5, and God is the word, John 1:1. Science has concluded that all matter, all physical things, are a product of light. They further theorize that in the next decade or two, it will be proven that light is a product of knowledge and understanding. Science calls this quantum consciousness. The Bible teaches that God used his words laden with knowledge and understanding to speak all things into existence, and yes, God is light. Biologists discovered that when an egg is injected with a sperm-like enzyme, federal law prohibits researchers from fertilizing eggs with actual sperm, a flash of light occurs. Life begins at this flash. John 1:7-9, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The word is literal. End quote. Today's science will continually find themselves knocking on heaven's door, but they can't come in. Entrance is only gained on one's knees, with ear bowed down, and that begins at the place Jesus calls born again. You cannot gain God's favor through carnal knowledge. God said, Jeremiah 25:31, a noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. God said, 1 John 1:5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God said, Exodus chapter 3, 13 and 14, And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. Man said, If I concede that there is a God, that doesn't mean the God of the Bible. Everybody knows the Bible has very low credibility. Just read it. What? No, I didn't read it, but so what? Now you have the record.